This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you by WGNRadio.com with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Vera Payne here, live from the NVP studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. The ACLU is currently challenging Democrats and Republicans for blocking constituents from social media. According to them, they cite constitutional free speech protection. How is this possible? Joining us to explain is appellate partner at Schief & Stone, Byron Henry. Thanks for joining, Byron.
Glad to be with you today.
You know, before we get into like the meat and bones, let's talk about the cause of it. Right now, there's a report going around about how there's a case of involving the American Civil Liberties Union and a representative from Arizona, Paul Gosar. Could you explain it a little bit for us?
Sure. This all started a while back after President Trump was elected president, and he's a big Twitter user, as most of your listeners will know, and he does not, he can block followers who troll his account or make inappropriate comments or for whatever reason he deems fit, he says. And so he does block people on Twitter, and there's been a lot of reports. Well, there's other politicians, senators, governors, and congressmen that actually block individuals from following them on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram for a variety of reasons, and that has led to the question of whether or not when these politicians use their social media accounts either to benefit politically, such as holding fundraisers or basically giving out public information or government information, or actually make official statements on their social media accounts, are they allowed under the First Amendment to block constituents and other potential followers? And so that's become a big issue. And recently, the ACLU has actually filed a lawsuit saying that when a representative or a senator or someone uses their account for government business, they are not allowed to block individuals from following them simply because of the viewpoints of the potential follower, such as they're of the wrong party or they don't agree with the politician. So that lawsuit is new, and it's going to make its way up through the courts and raises some very interesting questions under public access to information as well as the First Amendment.
The thing is that a lot of times there are some people out there who just want to troll, and they're being disruptive. Wouldn't that be like, well, they're being slanderous, or they're just being rude? Can't you just block that?
I think so. I mean, what the American Civil Liberties Union, I think, even acknowledges themselves is that just like if you had a public meeting where everyone was allowed to attend that could fit into the room, and you actually had a town hall, for instance, if someone was disruptive, wouldn't be quiet, used bad language, made inappropriate statements, they could be removed from that meeting. In other words, not be allowed to further participate. And that's kind of the way you need to view, I think, in some cases, this social media dispute. So certainly, if a user has his own internal rules of decorum, and that those are made known and are violated, I don't think there's a lot of dispute, at least at this point, that those users could be unfollowed or blocked. They could be blocked from following on the different social media platforms. The question becomes more whether or not they're just trolls with respect to disagreement. They don't actually use bad language. They don't actually say hateful or racist things. They're not disruptive. They just have comments to make, whether they dislike the politician or like the politician, but especially those that are of the other party and don't like the politician. And does a person have to open up his comments field to be completely filled with people that want him unelected if he's trying to have a constructive dialogue with constituents and citizens? And that's an open question. But certainly in your scenario, they could be blocked simply for being disruptive or not following the internal rules.
You know, one of the things I know I have a problem with is trying to differentiate between slander and opinion, because they kind of you can cover yourself under either or. Could you give an example of that?
Well, I can tell you that the First Amendment is very protective of people's ability to criticize public figures. So you may not be familiar with the famous case with regarding actual malice, but in order to give slander or defamation against a public figure, the Supreme Court of the United States has determined that you have to prove actual malice. So not only do you have to prove that it's a factual statement, not an opinion, so it's a verifiable factual statement that is false, but you have to prove that the person who made it knew it was false and made it intentionally to harm the person that they made it against. So basically, lawsuits for slander or defamation against sitting congressmen or governors governors or other politicians are almost impossible to make. This really is more of a case of just not wanting to listen to it as opposed to suing them for slander. So instead of going out there and filing lawsuits to silence people that are saying false statements or slanderous statements in their opinion, these politicians have just said, listen, we don't have to include you or allow you to be in our comments or in our social media platform to disrupt it this way, so they just block them. So if they were trying to sue them for it, that would be a very high mountain to climb.
You know, in our day and age, a lot of people out there may not know, politicians or celebrities even, they have social media managers. Can't they hide behind the fact, well, I didn't block them. My social media manager was the one who did. I'll fire him or her for that.
I think that is going to be part of the defense, but I think the better defense is not actually who's running your account, but are they running it consistently, whether it's you or a manager? Are they running it consistently and fairly? If you are blocking someone because of some type of internal rule, such, you know, like we talked about, trolls or inappropriate conduct, I don't think the social manager defense will work, especially if the courts determine that these accounts are pseudo-public or quasi-public, meaning they're not a public account, meaning an individual can set them up. It's not a government account, but you're using it for government business. So if you're using it for government business, saying that you hired someone to do it isn't going to protect you from what is actually done. The better question is, do they have a set of rules and policies of joining and engaging them on social media that they are enforcing fairly, or are they just enforcing against people they disagree with? So are they just blocking, if you're a Republican, are they just blocking Democrats that criticize you and they're leaving all the Republicans that praise you, or vice versa? That's going to be the real test if the courts determine it's public. If the courts determine it's private, like a conversation, then they're free to exclude anyone they want from their own conversation or their own meeting or their own club. So that's the first test, is it public or private? And then if it is public, they're going to have to justify how they're enforcing the rules fairly across the board and not just picking on people that disagree with them.
Now, if the courts decide that it's public, would this go to, like, the private sector? Let's say, like, Dwayne Johnson, The Rock. He'll block people who are just rude, outlandishly rude, but he's a public figure. Could people say, hey, man, he just didn't like what I said about, you know, how many reps he should do for his chest? I don't know. So, yeah. I mean, could they do that then?
Yeah, the difference when I said public versus private in this instance is whether or not it's actually government.
Oh, okay.
So if it's government, of course Dwayne Johnson is a public figure, just like a famous governor or a famous congressman, but they're more than just public figures, they're government figures. So as you know, the First Amendment only applies to government censorship or government action. So the courts first have to determine whether or not these accounts are official government action, or is it just a government person using a personal account to speak to people, which they're allowed to have, of course. So you have to first determine that. Now, Dwayne Johnson, as public as he is and as famous as he is, isn't doing anything on behalf of the government. So he can always, at least for now, without regulation, he can always block people for whatever reason. He doesn't need to give a good reason. It may be bad for his PR. It may hurt him at the box office if he blocks people for the wrong reason, but it's not subject to the First Amendment or to a court action.
Would it be just better if government officials just not use social media?
You would think that it could be more trouble than it's worth if the courts rule that you have to let everyone, all comers, comment and follow. But do we really want that to be the precedent? In an age where most communications, tons of millennials are getting their news via Twitter and Google and not reading traditional newspapers or not reading news magazines anymore, do we really want to limit participation by government officials? I mean, isn't it better if we have active politicians that engage their constituents and the public with their thoughts and feelings or whatnot? Or is it better to just go where if you can't afford a $5,000 a plate fundraiser, you don't get to go see or hear your senator or your governor or the president? So in a lot of ways, you don't want to take action to discourage interaction with the public by politicians. You want more connection, right? Not less. You don't want them to see more removed in Washington. But the problem with that is if they're going to do that, they need to do it even-handedly. And, of course, if they're speaking for the government, then everyone has a right to see what's going on through transparency and freedom of information. So there is some pitfalls, but in the end, I think it's best for society if we encourage our representatives and leaders to engage the public through these different social media platforms. Otherwise, young people will never even, you know, who don't read the papers or watch the evening news, won't have the same access to information that everyone else has.
Absolutely. You're right about that. I'm waiting for some kind of politician to start doing, you know, live streaming video chat on Facebook or even Twitch or YouTube, where people can have, like, put up their questions and wait for the answer from the politician, like a new type of town hall kind of questionnaire thing.
That's right. And, of course, if someone misbehaved on a town hall, there's no doubt they could be blocked or kicked out. So
right.
You need to look at it at least in the try to take the Internet and social media and say, well, haven't we had this before? Sure. We had social before. We had town halls. We had meetings we had speeches where they would come and speak to the Chamber of Commerce. So we had the same thing in traditional forum. Now we have it in digital forum. Now we just have to make sure the rules apply the same to the digital forum as it would to the traditional forum. Can you keep people out? If you can, what are good reasons to keep people out and those kind of things? And I think the courts will eventually sort this stuff out.
Well, this is going to be interesting, to say the least. Thank you so much, Byron, for coming on and talking about this. For those listening, where can they find more information about you?
I'm at Sheaf and Stone in Dallas and Frisco, Texas, and the website is solidcounsel.com.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Subscribe, rate, and comment at masonverapayne.com. That's masonverapayne.com. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.